All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons and Locked On Rams. I am one of your hosts for tonight's crossover podcast. I am Aaron Freeman, joined by Bear Motter. We're going to be talking about this upcoming wild card playoff matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Los Angeles Rams.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys. So this is our crossover podcast with Bear Motter, the host of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm going to drop that audio after this. We will get the business of the podcast out of the way. As you guys know, we give away a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription every week on this podcast. One listener who goes to Locked On Falcons on iTunes leaves a 5-star review, including their Twitter handle. In that review, will be automatically entered into a contest in a random drawing at the end of each week to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, a $40 value that you can get for free. Included in that is, of course, player grades, position rankings, snap counts, fantasy tools and charts, projections, draft coverage, all that and more. And if you do not get that Pro Football Focus content in that random drawing, that you can also get it on the Locked On Podcast Network every Wednesday, checking out Mike Renner on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. And you can also check out Jeff Ratcliffe, the director of fantasy, every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football with host Vinny Iyer. I also want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by my bookie. Bowl season is here and it's time to get in on the action with my bookie. Are you sick and tired of getting that runaround when you go ask for a payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and you will get paid fast when you win. My bookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money betting the bowl games with one more game coming up? You got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I recommend. I trust them. You don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all this season's NFL and college bowl game action. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. You got to use that promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, guys, so I'm going to go ahead and post that conversation I had with Bear. You know, we had a nice 30-minute chat about this upcoming game, the matchups, all that type of stuff. You know, I'll stay up front, and I think the Falcons are going to win, but at the same time, it could go either way. It's a relatively even matchup. And so we'll see what happens. If the Falcons play the way that they're capable of playing, they should win this game. If they don't, then you know what the alternative is. So we will drop that audio right about now. Bear, welcome to Locked On Falcons, and I hope you welcome me over to Locked On Rams.
Definitely. I'm excited to kind of jump on the line here with you and talk some playoff football. I mean, both teams here. Obviously, you guys coming off of last year's Super Bowl run and kind of ending in that dramatic fashion. But, you know, coming back this year, up and down, but you made it in the playoffs on, you know, the last day of the season. For us Rams, it's just exciting to be involved in bonus football right now. We had 4 wins last year, a lot of changes both on the field and off the field. And we didn't expect a turnaround to happen this fast, but we were all excited. And now our expectations are going higher and higher, and we're hosting a playoff football game. So nothing we can be too upset about. And, you know, it's an exciting time of year for NFL fans.
Absolutely. I remember when the Rams started off the season, I thought they would start hot just because of the new energy with the hire of Sean McVay. But my expectation going to the year was that they would fade a little bit as the second half of the season grew and teams figured them out, and that wasn't necessarily the case. And so congratulations to the Rams for certainly outperforming my expectations. I'm curious if they sort of outperform your expectations heading into the year.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, I think most of the country felt that way as we were getting off to these big wins. And, you know, for us, it's just a win was a big win, right? And then you had a lot of people breaking down, you know, our schedule and saying, oh, you beat the Giants and you beat the Niners and, you know, and kind of just picking apart the games that we won. And as we started piling up, and I think where we started to really pick up confidence and start to understand what we had here was went on the road and won in Dallas. And yeah, they ended up not being a playoff team, but at that point of the year, they had all their guns going. They still were the Dallas Cowboys at home. And we rattled off four road wins in a row, and it started to look like, hey, this team is almost as comfortable, if not more comfortable, playing on the road than here at home. And these days, that's tough to find. So we started to believe in them pretty soon after that game and start to understand that, you know, with McVay and just listening to that guy's speech, you start to hear, you know, you got something special. So it was fun to kind of watch the rest of the country doubt us. And I think a lot of people still are, you know, not sure about us. And, you know, especially with this interesting matchup of, you know, you guys coming in with the playoff experience and, you know, you held this position last year as being, you know, the number one offensive team last year. And, you know, that experience of the playoffs, I think a lot of people still are saying, well, this could be the game where the, you know, the six seed comes in and makes some noise. We've seen in the past that the wild card route, anything can happen. So, you know, really excited to get to this game. I wish it was tomorrow night and we could just, you know, line them up and play, but got a couple days to go. And we've got a couple interesting storylines kind of breaking down as we get up there. I'd love to hear a little bit of an update from what you got on some of the injuries. I saw Devontae Freeman has kind of been limited and even been out at points. I saw Julio Jones was limited in practice. I know this is playoff football, so I expect some of those guys to play. But, you know, what's going on with the injuries over in Atlanta?
Well, Falcon fans know that Julio Jones being on the injury report is nothing new. That's basically been a weekly occurrence for like 5 years now, it seems like. The joke I always say on my podcast is that he is a Ferrari. He's a very expensive sports car. And so when the car breaks down, the maintenance fees get pretty high. So the Falcons do have to make a certain amount of effort to sort of keep him rested and not sort of get him tired during the week, so he gets a lot of days off and a lot of limited reps, and then he goes out and is Julio Jones on Sunday. So right. his appearance on the injury report wasn't a huge cause for concern for Falcon fans, because he's a consummate pro and he's going to gut through it even when he's not healthy. You know, Julio Jones at 75%, it's often joked that he's still better than, you know, 90% of the receivers in the league. So the real injury concern was Devontae Freeman and him being limited being out on Tuesday's practice, but coming back on Wednesday being limited. That is a positive sign. The Falcons head coach Dan Quinn indicated that they are encouraged for his ability to play on Saturday against the Rams. And so that certainly is encouraging to me, because I was not on the verge of panicking, but it was one of those things where if he didn't play in this game, I was going to be very concerned and very nervous, because he is a key component of the Falcons offense. Their ability to establish the run, the ability to build play action passing off of that, primarily, you know, the thing that their offense has lacked this season compared to last season is the explosive element to the same degree. And when they are explosive this season, primarily, particularly in the second half of the season, when the offense came up a little bit stronger than they were during the middle of the season, it was a lot of their explosiveness was built off of the play action, and Devontae Freeman being healthy and running at his, you know, at his, to his level, is a key component of that. So the fact that the Falcons sound a little bit more optimistic about his status than they were 24 hours ago certainly makes me a little bit more optimistic about Saturday's matchup.
Yeah, we want to see, you know, everyone healthy. You know, I don't want a main player out. I live on the side of I want the best of the best that can play. So I really hope he does get to play, because I want to see, you know, a great ball game. And I want to talk a little bit about Julio Jones here for a second. You had mentioned him as being that expensive Ferrari and, you know, the pro's pro, always ready to go, which he has been. But looking kind of at his stats, the guy, they throw to him all the time, right? He's averaging about anywhere from 8 to 15 targets over the past 8 games. But out of those 8 games, he's only gone over the 100-yard mark twice. Obviously, he had that huge monster game of 253 yards against Tampa Bay. But what has been different from this year to last year, or even the couple years in the past where, you know, Julio was just constantly over that 100-yard mark and, you know, getting those 8 catches and was that dominant force, which I'm still afraid of him. Don't get this wrong. Like, he can go off at any moment. He's an unbelievable wide receiver, probably one of the best in the game. But it seems like his production really hasn't been there as much. Is that really because of the offensive coordinator switch, or what's going on with that? And is he capable of coming out to LA and just going off?
Yes, it's an interesting development. His touchdowns have been down this year by a significant degree. Only scored touchdowns in 2 games this year, finished the year with 3 touchdowns. The interesting thing was last season, the Falcons, you know, there was a lot of games where Julio didn't have monster numbers. And what made the Falcons offense so potent was that even when you went into the games completely focused on, we got to find a way to contain, we got to find a way to stop Julio Jones, it was the Taylor Gabriels, the Mohamed Sanus, the Devontae Freemans, the Tevin Coleman's, et cetera, that really sort of hurt you and found, and the, you know, Kyle Shanahan was able to find ways to exploit those guys. And that really hasn't been the case this year. So even though Julio is sort of the same player he was last year, with some games where he's not being this huge, huge monster player, and then other games where he is, the fact of the matter is the bigger concern is more with the drop-off from the other guys, and particularly a guy like Taylor Gabriel, who was really sort of the X factor for the Falcons offense last year, with all this attention focused on the running game, all this attention focused on Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, who's technically the starter. It was really Taylor Gabriel that was the number 2 receiver in this offense, and at various times was even a more important player and more productive player than Julio Jones was in this offense. And I think that's really more the issue that's been missing from this year's team. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, having a first-time offensive coordinator in Steve Sarkisian, first time he's ever really called plays in the NFL and really coached in the NFL. And so he's just still trying to figure things out. He's gotten better as the season has wore on. But, you know, I think this week, going back to Julio, I think this is a good week for him, because I do think if Freeman is not 100%, then the Falcons will be able to, you know, maybe put a little bit more on Julio's plate. And I think he has a potentially favorable matchup going up against Trumaine Johnson, who is a good corner, but I don't quite know if he's on the Xavier Rhodes, Josh Norman level of cornerback that typically, you know, does well against Julio Jones. Aqib Talib was another guy, you know, connecting it to Wade Phillips last year. So, you know, I think Julio has an opportunity to have another monster game this week if the Falcons can find a way to get him going.
Yeah, you mentioned Trumaine Johnson there, and Rams Nation out here will kind of agree with you. I think we've started to trust him more and more. He's had some really good games, shutting down some pretty good wide receivers here of late, and he kind of has this chip on his shoulder, and I think that for us is something we're hoping he is using for motivation. When you got a guy like Julio coming in and the hype is there for, as you know, and even the production is there behind it to say this guy's one of the best in the game, really hoping that one. Wade Phillips has always been great of scheming things and moving people around, and so we expect to see Trumaine Johnson on him a lot, but we could see some you know, movement there and have some other guys on him to kind of keep it fresh. It's going to be a matchup that I'm definitely, and I think a lot of people out here in LA are going to be watching. Another name that you mentioned was Steve Sarkisian. No stranger to the LA market out here. I don't think he's going to get a lot of welcome cards when he walks in the door. But, you know, there has been that transition from last year being the number one offense in the league. Thankfully, the Rams have taken over that crown this year, which was an amazing feat for us because we were last in the league last year. But in the last 2 games, Falcons are 2-9 in the red zone. Been an area of struggle. One thing that the Rams do pretty well that we've been, you know, talking about here on Rams, Locked On Rams all year is we do this bend but don't break, right? We've been giving up some big plays and we give up points here and there. But when we get down in the red zone, there seems to be something that just switches in this defense that says, you know, we'll give up 3, but we're not going to give up 7. How do you see Sark coming out here and trying to adjust to that? You know, with the play calling,
it'll be an interesting thing, because, you know, one of the big topics that we've talked about quite a bit on Locked On Falcons, and anytime I have a guest on the show, I mentioned to him, you know, I basically say we talk about Sark every episode, so I have to get your opinion on what's your opinion on Sark in his play calling. And it's been up and down this year. You know, some corners of Falcon fans and media people would say it's been a lot more down than up. Others may differ with that. So that's a raging topic of debate. I like to believe that I'm somewhere in the middle in terms of how much confidence I have in Sark, but certainly there have been times as of late that don't necessarily inspire me with confidence. I thought he did a good job in this Week 17 game against Carolina, which gives me a little bit more confidence that he'll find ways to figure things out against this Rams defense. And I do think, you know, the key for them is going to be just not letting Aaron Donald wreck their offense. And I think if they can prevent him from, you know, when they get down into the red zone and they want to get into opportunities where they want to try to run the ball in, and Aaron Donald's, you know, 4 yards into the backfield, you know, stuffing Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman for losses, obviously that's not going to help them put points on the board. And I think what winds up happening, what favors the Falcons when they get into the red zone, is so many people, the expectation is, oh, they're going to throw the ball to Julio Jones, and he draws so much attention, they're able to sort of build things off of that, and it allows guys like Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper to get opportunities, and they've taken advantage of those for the most part this season. So I do think the Falcons are in a favorable position when it comes to the red zone and getting some conversions, but certainly, you know, in these sort of playoff games where it's so heightened and the competition is so high, you kind of have to be perfect in a lot of ways. And so any opportunities where you have to settle for 3 points instead of getting the 7 points when you get down in the red zone could be what costs you a game. And so it'll be interesting for me to see how the Falcons handle that. I think because they have a little bit of playoff experience, not necessarily Sark, I think that bodes well for them. And I'm sort of curious, what are your thoughts on sort of the Rams' lack of playoff experience, at least on the offensive side of the ball, with head coach Sean McVay and quarterback Jared Goff? We know Wade Phillips has been there, done that. But I'm curious if you think maybe the offense won't be as reliable and as explosive coming out of the gates as they've, you know, as you guys have been accustomed to seeing this year, just because of, you know, the sort of the heightened reality of playing in the postseason.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it is the question of the hour out here in Los Angeles, trying to figure out, you know, we've seen these guys go 11-5 all season, put up, you know, obviously the league leading in points. And you're curious, what does happen when you get to the playoffs with a young group? We only have 5 guys that have ever seen the postseason. So you're looking at a lot of people that this is brand new. Listening to some of the guys around talking, they're really excited about getting out there. They're amped. Almost has the same feel when we went up to Seattle. It's like these guys are, you know, raring to go. It's like you're holding them back by the collar, and as soon as you let them go, they're just going to come flying out. The great thing that we have is, you know, talk about the youth and inexperience with Sean McVay at head coach. If you ever get a chance, go listen to some of his post-game speeches. The guy is just a miracle worker as far as motivation. I know he's got, although he's young, he has got a game plan. Since the moment he took the job and went up to the podium, he has not veered off of his mission, his tone of voice, what he believes, what he thinks we can do. So I expect them to come out ready, looking at this, almost prepare for this game like they prepare for, you know, Week 4 of the preseason. These guys, I think, you know, are going to come out ready to go. I expect them to put up a lot of points as usual, and I think that's, you know, what goes into that conversation we just came off of is, you know, if we start getting into field goal game, it's going to be tough to kind of keep pace, because I think the Rams are going to put up some points. And I think you'll even see us, you know, go for it a couple times on some 4th-and-2 or shorts, because we do have Sam Ficken as our kicker now. We've lost our Pro Bowl kicker, and we're not really sure what we got yet. He hasn't had much practice beyond 30 yards. So I would love to see how McVay is going to call his first playoff game and how aggressive he's going to be. Coming after what we've seen with your own Atlanta Falcons last year in the Super Bowl, when you start to get conservative in the postseason, it can come back and bite you in the butt. So I'm excited. I really think the Rams really aren't going to have much of a hiccup or a change from the regular season. But that's why we line it up and play on Sundays, and in this case on Saturdays, to see really what happens in a short week of preparation. And playoff football is different, you know, and these guys are going to experience it. But I am very excited to see how that goes. And as we talk about this, you know, offense that, you know, led the league in scoring, very many teams, very few teams have been able to slow him down, right? We've seen Minnesota Vikings had a pretty good game against them. And then early in the season, Seattle kind of held them to one of their slower games. And they did it from the linebacking core with speed and agility. I mean, you've got guys like Jones, Campbell, and Vic Beasley. How do you see them being able to shut down Todd Gurley and that play action pass with Jared Goff?
It's going to be a challenge because I've said all along this season, when you look at the Falcons defense, I think the linebacker core is the biggest weakness on the team, even though you look at it and you see a lot of talent, you see a lot of young talent. Fortunately for the Falcons, Deion Jones has really come on strong in the month of December. So I feel a little bit more confident that those guys will be able to show up on Saturday and play well. But it's going to be a challenge for them because throughout the season, teams that have had running backs that are capable out of the backfield, whether it's Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey or Theo Riddick or somebody else, those teams have been pretty successful getting the ball in the hands of their running backs. And certainly that's been a huge element of the Rams' success. And that's certainly something that they, you know, pride their offense on, being able to get Todd Gurley the ball both as a runner and a receiver. So it doesn't necessarily bode well for the Falcons preventing that. And so it's going to really boil down to their ability to, when he does get the ball in space, they're going to be able to have to, you know, bring him down in the open field and prevent him from getting yards after contact and yards after the catch, which tackling has been a little bit iffy for the Falcons. It's been better as of late, but it certainly has not been to a consistent enough degree where I feel completely confident that, you know, given having a guy like Todd Gurley, a big physical running back like him, as opposed to some of these other guys like Kamara and McCaffrey, who are lighter and quicker guys, you know, that's a different challenge for the Falcons linebacker, who, you know, are fast guys that make plays in space, but aren't necessarily the guys that you want going toe-to-toe with Todd Gurley in the hole. And it'll be interesting. I think one wrinkle that the Falcons can throw at the Rams potentially is by asking Keanu Neal to cover Gurley a little bit more, where he brings a little bit more of a physical element. They did that in week 16 against New Orleans, going up against Kamara, and that was partially facilitated because Neal's real value for the team, not only as a run defender, is his ability to go man-to-man against tight ends. And since the Saints don't really have much to speak of at the tight end position since Kobe Fleener got hurt, that freed up Neal to go up against Kamara. And, you know, Kamara got the better of him early in the game, but as the game progressed, Neal sort of stepped up and really sort of kept him contained. And I think that may be some another way that the Falcons can try to keep Todd Gurley contained on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know what? That's kind of what we're hoping, you know, Sean McVay is thinking as well, because the one thing that the Rams have, you know, been great at, and what he's so great at, is finding matchups and really making the defense think before and after the snap. And, you know, we've got two tight ends who are great pass catchers. Obviously, Higbee for us being probably the leader there, and being able to probably have to, you know, steal some of that coverage over away when we go in different formations. One of my favorite things that McVay has done all year is, even as Rams fans watching every game, we're always seeing something new. We're always seeing something where he kind of will set you up. You'll see four plays in a row, and you, even as a fan, you start to, you know, pick up on there's a trend here, and then all of a sudden he'll throw the screwball at you and keep you on your toes. It's going to be an interesting matchup to watch all game on both sides on the ball. What would probably be your big takeaway that, you know, maybe you need this player to be your X factor this game to really win the game? Who would it be? Maybe someone that Rams Nation wouldn't be too familiar with that you're going to count on big on Saturday.
That's a tough question, because I think the more obvious names that you would think of are sort of the guys that the Falcons sort of need. You know, in these sort of big playoff games, you kind of need your best players to play their best. And I do think, you know, it's an obvious pick, but I think Julio Jones having a big game will be huge for the Falcons offense. It does bring an added dimension to the Falcons when Julio can have these monster performances. And as you say, the Rams, you know, offense is expected to not skip a beat. And if that's the case, the Falcons are going to have to put up a lot more points this season than they've had to for most of these games that they've had to win. You know, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think their record in terms of games where they score more than 20 points is like 9-0 this season. And when they score less than 20 points, they're like 1-6 or whatever the record is. I'm bad at math, but, I think, going up against this Rams offense, if the Falcons defense can't find a way to slow them down, you know, scoring 21 or 24 points probably is not going to cut it against an offense that's basically averaging 30 points a game. And so if the Falcons are going to need to get up into the upper 20s, 28, 30, 31 points or more, then I don't think they're going to be able to do that without Julio Jones having a big game. And I think, you know, he's going to be an X factor, which is, again, an obvious call, but I certainly think it's true.
No, that's a good point. And I think, you know, for me, my counter to that would be LaMarcus Joyner. I think Tremaine Johnson and whoever ends up covering, you know, Julio Jones is going to have his hands full. LaMarcus Joyner has been, you know, potentially, and if you ask people out here, he's had a Pro Bowl type year at the safety position, and that man hits like a linebacker. He's fun to watch. He flies around. He finds the ball really well. And I think we're going to need him, one, a couple times to shake up Julio with some big hits, because you mentioned it. Julio's a big guy, right? He's not this kind of skinny, tall wide receiver. He's a man out there, and we need to kind of get him a couple big hits so when he's coming across the middle to really want to think about, you know, what's going to happen after he catches the ball. And then I think we're going to need some safety help over the top, and we can't let those big home run type plays happen. So I think for me on the defense side of the ball, it's going to be LaMarcus Joyner, you know, in his first playoff game to have a really big game for us to kind of hold that secondary together, because our front can get there, right? We can put pressure on, but Matt Ryan this year was one of the best against the blitz, and he's good at getting the ball out fast. So we're going to need that secondary to really step up and limit those big plays. And then on the offense side of the ball, it's kind of a no-brainer like you with picking Julio. It's got to be Todd Gurley for us. Can he find a way to continue this run that he's on? I mean, if you're anything involved in fantasy football, you know he basically won multiple people trophies this year with the way he finished the season with the last three games, just, you know, tearing it up and really making a push for that MVP run, and didn't even play week 17. But I think he's going to be a key factor to really take off that pressure of Jared Goff in his first playoff game and really having to make those big time throws and maybe those third and longs, which, you know, we don't want to see, you know, happening very much. But, you know, those are going to be my two guys. And then the biggest question for me, and I'd like to hear your take on this because I just don't know too much about it from your side, is special teams. It's playoff time. Special teams are always a big portion to tilt a game when it's close and you're starting to get these really good matchups. We've got Johnny Hecker, who's an all-pro punter. We've got Farrell Cooper, who's an all-pro returner. So we feel pretty good there. Sam Ficken's our biggest question mark in the kicking game. What's the special teams look like for the Atlanta Falcons, and how do you guys feel coming into this game, you know, having it potentially be, you know, maybe the deciding factor in a close game?
Well, the fact that you said that, a lot of my listeners groaned because special teams has been an area of concern throughout the season for the Falcons. You know, the kicker and punter situation are great. You know, Matt Bosher probably hasn't had his best season as a pro, but he's certainly, you know, one of the better punters in the league. Matt Bryant just came off a game where he nailed five field goals against the Panthers. He's, you know, I know Football Outsiders did a study a couple of years ago that named him the most clutch kicker of all time. And so, like, he's not, you know, even at age 42, he's not much of a worry at this point. It's really been the coverage units and the return game that has been problematic for the Falcons. And obviously that's an area of strength for the Rams because, you know, they basically swept the NFC Pro Bowl vote in terms of special teams this year. So that is certainly a factor that I think could play a huge part in this game, as you mentioned, because, again, these playoff games, it is the details, you know, the devil's in the details in terms of you have typically two really good teams facing each other, and it's a couple of mistakes or a couple of big plays here or there that can mount the difference. And just to finish off with another player that I think is an X factor, that you mentioned in terms of the Rams front being able to get home, I do think Alex Mack, the Falcons Pro Bowl center, is going to be a big factor. He was nicked up in this week 17 game and struggled in that game. He's been dealing with a calf strain. It seems like he's a little bit healthier than he was a week ago, but certainly if he's not close to, you know, 90% or whatever percentage you can expect from a player this late in the season, That's going to be problematic because he's going to be critical to sort of slowing down a guy like Aaron Donald, who will be facing a backup guard in Ben Garland at the left guard spot with Andy Levitre sidelined for the year, and a first-year starter in Wes Schweitzer playing right guard, who has been up and down this year, and in a lot of people's eyes have been a lot more down than up. So I do think they need Mac to sort of stabilize the interior of the offensive line, and I think on the flip side, if they're going to slow down this Rams offense, I do think it's going to rely heavily on the Falcons pass rush to get home and taking advantage of guys like Jamon Brown and Rob Havenstein. We saw Vic Beasley destroy Rob Havenstein in that game last year. I think the Falcons are hopeful that he can have a repeat performance and really create havoc against the Rams offense. And I think Jamon Brown, while I think the Rams offensive line has made big strides this year, certainly, you know, getting rid of Greg Robinson and replacing him with Andrew right. Wentworth is you know, yeah. is about as far a jump as you can humanly make on the offensive line. But I do think there's still some vulnerabilities on that right side. And I think if the Falcons are going to win this game, they're going to really need to try to, you know, expose that as a reality as opposed to, you know, at this point, a suspicion.
Yeah, I got chills in my spine when I heard Greg Robinson's name again and thinking of our offensive line last year. And I went back and watched some of the tape and of that game last year. And it's just, I mean, it's just crazy to think where we were at last year to where we're at now. I mean, we fumbled the opening kickoff. We couldn't even get a kickoff return before you guys had 7 points up on the board. And I think we had a pick six returned and a fumble picked up and returned for a touchdown. It was an ugly game. But we got to thank you. If we can thank anybody, it's the Atlanta Falcons for whooping us up so bad. We fired Jeff Fisher right after that game. So if there's one thing Atlanta did for us and we can say we're happy to see him again, it's because they helped us get rid of Jeff Fisher. And here we are a year later and we're in the playoffs facing you guys. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. You named a bunch of, you know, great stuff there as you talked about your line with Mac kind of being a little banged up and a backup guard. I mean, I know all of Rams Nation, when they hear a backup guard going against Aaron Donald, everyone just gets super excited. But you never know how things happen and how Mac's going to play and if he can help out over there and if Matt Ryan can get the ball out quick. I mean, that's why we play the game. Kind of closing this thing out, I want to do a little bit of a prediction with you and see what your thoughts are. Why don't you give me a score prediction and maybe, you know, a little bit on why you think it's going to go the way that you predict.
Well, I'm going to stay consistent with the other podcasts that I've done this week in terms of my score prediction. I'm going to take the homer pick. I think the Falcons will find a way to pull this win off. I do think the team is playing with a lot of confidence. I do think their playoff experience will matter a little bit and help them get off to a fast start and maybe not have the Rams come out with as fast a start as they're used to and maybe force them to play from behind a little bit. And that will certainly, you know, help the Falcons slow down Todd Gurley a little bit and maybe put a little bit more pressure on Jared Goff. And that could lead to some mistakes for the second-year quarterback. So I'm going to go with a score of 27-24. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I'm hoping that maybe because the Falcons have a reliable veteran kicker and the Rams have an unproven guy, that may make a difference in the outcome of this game. So, you know, maybe for once the Falcons special teams will finally triumph over another team.
All right, well, I like it, and I got to give you some credit. I've done a handful of these crossovers, and you're sticking with your team. I like it. I've had a couple people jump over and pick the Rams. It makes me feel good, but I like it. You're sticking with your crew. You've been there all year long with them, and I'm the same way. I think the Rams, looking at what we got here with home field advantage, you know, I probably said it five times, but the best offense in the NFL, I'm going to bank on that continues, and I'm going to put all my chips on Sean McVay. I mean, this guy all year long has kind of proven that there's no game too big, there's no moment too big that he looks at the very next day just like he did the previous day. So I expect him to get these guys ready. I think I mentioned it earlier. I feel like we're going to have the same type of emotions we did when we went up to Seattle and we came out on fire. We've had 8 turnovers on the first possession of our defense this year. I'm hoping we can get off to a quick start again and maybe get our 9th of the year. I have it kind of around where you have it as far as score goes. I think it's going to be a 31-24 game for the Rams. I hope it's a little bit higher than a three-point game because, as I mentioned, I don't know what the heck we got with Sam Ficken yet, and I don't want to put it down on his leg. But if Sean McVay's got confidence in him, I guess we got to sit there and cross our fingers and see what happens. I think we're gonna get a late defensive stop and pull away with a late touchdown. I expect Todd Gurley to go for about 150 total yards, probably around 7 to 8 catches out of the backfield. We've just got so many weapons on the offensive side, from Cooper Kupp to Farrell Cooper in the return game. Sammy Watkins has had a couple good games. He's got 8 touchdowns on the year, but they're all coming from inside the 20. I expect him to kind of hopefully maybe have that breakout game. It would be nice to happen in the playoffs. I think our offense is just too much. You're a little banged up on the offensive line. I expect our defense to put some pressure on and Matt Ryan to have to force a couple things. With our ball hawking defense, I'm expecting to win the turnover battle, and I think that's going to be a big key in what happens here. So I got Rams 31-24, but it's the playoffs, and anything can happen. I would like to see how this game goes. It's going to be warm weather. I know we talked about the cold that's hitting the East Coast, and it's going to be hopefully a nice day out here in California. We're going to have a packed stadium of 75,000-plus. We've had multiple games where a lot of the away team has flooded into the stadium. I don't expect that this week. There should be some Atlanta fans, but I think this is going to be a heavy Rams crowd. And first playoff game since, I think, 86 here in the L.A. region for the Rams. So pretty exciting stuff. Aaron, I appreciate your time coming on, talking Falcons, Rams. And everyone that's listening, feel free, go jump on iTunes, leave me or Aaron a review, give us some thumbs up, tell us you love us, tell us what you want, reach out to me. You can find me at LA_RamblingBear on Twitter. You can also reach me at LockedOnRams on Twitter. Aaron, where can everyone find you at?
I am at FalcFans on Twitter, FalcFans. And of course, Locked On Falcons is the podcast I host. And of course, you can find out all the information about that podcast on Locked On Falcons on Twitter as well.
Awesome. Great time talking to you. Best of luck, and go Rams.
Go Falcons. Okay, I appreciate Bear for coming on and talking with me, talking Falcons, Rams. Hopefully we'll get an opportunity to talk later this offseason, but this will be the last opportunity for us to do a crossover podcast together in terms of a Falcons-Rams game. And I don't think that they're on our schedule in 2018, so I don't know. I won't memorize the schedule until like March or something like that, but doesn't matter. Let's get out of here. My brain is just out of it, guys. I apologize if I sound a little bit out of it. It's been a long week, and I still got one more episode to go this week, so good luck with that one. So guys, probably tomorrow, I will be posting on lockedonfalcons.com, one of the two websites that are the daily homes of this podcast, the updated leftover mailbag for all the questions I did not answer on, Wednesday's episode, which is yesterday, I guess. I can't keep the days straight, simply because, you know, I record these the night before, and so it's hard to keep track. So we go by the days that they post, I guess. So any of the questions I did not get on Wednesday's episode, I will get to on that. So definitely check that over out at lockedonfalcons.com. Of course, that's a great place that you can get in contact with me and ask any questions that you want by leaving a comment there. Falcfans.com is the other place where the podcast is posted daily. You can leave a comment there as well. More direct contact is Twitter. That's the easiest way. It's the most likely way that I will see your question, your comment, your critique, or whatever it is. My Twitter handle, of course, is FalcFans. Just let me know it's podcast related if you send it over there. Otherwise, just send it straight up to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. I will automatically know it's podcast related if you send it to that handle. If you don't like Twitter character limits, if it requires more than 280 characters to get your commentary or question answered or posed or asked, I don't know. The English language is not my first language. Confusion is my first language. Awkwardness is my first language. But if you require more than 280 characters, by all means, hit me up on Facebook. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. And if you don't like Facebook for whatever reasons, then you can always do email. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. So that's another place where you can get in touch with me. So that's it, guys. We will be back tomorrow with another preview episode talking about this game. We'll find out what the schedule is going to be like. I don't have any, you know, we'll do a rapid reaction on Sunday morning. You'll get one Sunday morning. Monday, depending on how that game goes, we'll determine what we do on Monday. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, if the Falcons are playing again, we'll get a normal week. If the Falcons aren't playing or their season's done, you know, instead of, you know, at the point in the week where we normally would turn our attention to the next upcoming opponent, we will probably turn our attention to sort of wrapping up the season. And then I will have to start to bring in guests for fan talks and other various entities to start talking about the Falcons season as a whole as we begin to pivot towards the offseason. So hopefully I can continue to procrastinate on that by the Falcons continue to play and make a deep run in this postseason. But if that's not the case, then, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But just because I'm on the subject and I need to drag out these outros as long as possible, the plan is to do 3 days a week in the off season, similar to what we did last off season. Because, you know, I started taking over solo during draft season, it was easy that first like 5 or 6 weeks of, you know, sort of planning out what I was going to do. But then after that, it sort of became a little bit random. I would like to believe that, you know, once we get to the off season in February and in March, the episodes won't be as random. And certainly I don't want to sit here and be like, this is the plan for what we're going to do any off season. But I just want to give you guys a heads up because I'm discussing it at this current time that the plan is to do three, you know, 30-ish minute episodes a week, bringing on guests, talking Falcons, talking free agency, talking playoffs. If other playoff games are going on while the Falcons aren't playing, you know, we'll do all that stuff and more. And it'll be a nice, fun off season, hopefully, for you guys. So that's the plan. And just wanted to give you guys a heads up so that you guys know to stay locked on.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.